Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
106.5 The End.
The Wake Up Call.
Hey, it's Gavin from The Wake Up Call, and I have had the pleasure of meeting somebody that has a passion for something that I think is important, and I think that it applies to a lot of people who listen to The Wake Up Call, and I wanted to have her on to have a long-form discussion about this. So, Dr. Leanne Simmons, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So great to be here.
And tell us about what your passion is. Well, actually, start off with a little bit of your background.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm a professor in the Betty Irene Moore School of Nursing at UC Davis, and I have been working in the field of women's health for about 25 years, both looking at mental and physical health. And I'm extremely passionate about making sure that women get the care that they need and deserve.
Yes, and that is a challenge. And we live in America and everybody knows that it's a challenge in healthcare just in general, but for women especially, it is even more of a challenge.
Yes, it's absolutely a challenge for women. And this dates back long before you and I were even twinkles in our parents' eyes. There is a long history of men dominating medicine, which means that the care that has been developed and provided over time is also dominated by, you know, men's thinking, men's bodies. And so I'm a woman, are less likely to get the care that we need or to get the timely care. We might get it, but it might be a little bit late.
And why in this year is this still an issue? Like, you would talk about, you know, in the 1940s and 50s, I'm not defending it, but I can understand why back then. I mean, we didn't even know women had emotions back then, I guess, or let them have it. But now it just seems like we should have progressed way beyond this, way before this. So why is this still an issue?
Well, I have a little pop quiz for you. Do you remember Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You?
Yes.
Do you know what year that song was?
It's from the Bodyguard soundtrack.
You got it.
So I feel like the Bodyguard, the movie came out in like 87.
Close. It was early 90s, 1992.
Okay.
So that song is actually older than when the federal government said we should include women in research. So we've only.
What?
Yes. 100%. And get this. So that was just, yes, we also need to study women. It wasn't until 2016 that the government required federally funded projects to look at sex as a biological variable. What that means is looking at how diseases present differently in men and women, how they progress differently in men and women, and how men and women even respond differently to treatment. So we're not even at a decade when that has been the expectation.
So what was the year that actually kind of started?
Which started?
I mean, everything that you just said. So like you said, it was after the Bodyguard soundtrack.
Yeah.
So what year did we finally start to introduce women into research?
1993.
What?
Yes. Yep, 1993. And then again, 2016. So that was just make sure that when you are doing a study, make sure that you also include women. So there was nothing about we needed to look at the differences in men and women. It was just make sure when you're studying whatever you're studying, men and women are included. 2016 was when the federal government finally said, you know, maybe we should also require that you understand the differences in men and women.
2016.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, what would they do for studies on, like, let's say menopause? Like, did they just not study it?
They did not study it.
You were kidding me.
Menopause is still one of the most understudied. Yes, it's one of the most understudied.
Who knows what's going on in there?
Not very many people.
Wow.
Except the women themselves. They know. They know, but nobody believes them.
That is insane.
Yes. Yes.
What are some of the biggest problems that have come up in women's health due to lack of research?
Well, I mean, some of the most, I would say, common issues is that women don't get diagnosed until way too late. And
with everything, or
pretty much heart disease, cancer.
Wow.
We are way behind women because women often look differently in the clinic with the same disease as men. They just have different symptoms. They have different impacts on life. And so, you know, heart disease, number one killer of men, also the number one killer of women. Cancer, top 10, right? Depending on the type of cancer. But when we think about even just going back to things like when women go through, or girls go through puberty.
Right.
Right. We have such little information about what is considered normal with cramps. I know you have a daughter. I have a daughter. I have a stepdaughter. I am a woman. I can't tell you how many times people just get told, oh, you're out for a day a month. That's just normal. No, it is not normal. You should not be debilitated one day a month because you are on your cycle.
Yeah.
Not normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. Okay. So, and you're working on a book right now.
I am.
Mm-hmm. All about this.
All about this.
Are there, see, again, it feels like a silly question, but given everything that you just said, I feel like I should ask it. Is there a lot of books and medical literature written about this subject?
So,
or is it still pretty underreported as well?
It's still pretty underreported, but it is gaining traction, thankfully. So thankfully, we are seeing more and more people come out and say, hey, we don't know enough about half the things we think we know. We are seeing delays in diagnoses for women. There are data out there that show that women are not getting diagnosed at the same rate as men for the same very same things. They're also not even getting evaluated in the same way.
Right.
And so therefore, of course, they're not getting their diagnoses. But it's interesting. You brought up menopause earlier.
Yeah.
There is this wave among, you know, those of us in a delicate age as myself, where, you know, several professionals are going through perimenopause, menopause, and they're seeing, you know, that this is so understudied and it is so often dismissed. You know,
yeah.
It's like, instead of saying, hey, let's talk about what's going on with you, it's, well, welcome to middle age.
Right.
You're
yeah.
welcome. Enjoy.
Like, yeah, it just happens.
Well, that's what it is.
And we don't know what's normal, what's not normal, what's something that should be looked at. Okay, so this is not me defending any of the status quo.
Sure.
Just a question I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
Two, actually.
Okay.
First of all, there are women doctors. Are they part of the problem?
Mm-hmm. So a couple things about that, right? Remember what I said about medicine and the origins of medicine.
Yeah.
Those origins, centuries of medicine, was started by men. As a matter of fact, there are studies and there are reports that show that even though women were active in, for example, birthing processes, using natural healing, that was not included in the works that eventually made their way into, you know, what we now know as modern medicine. So it's just been a male-dominated field. So on the one hand, they have been brought up, if you will, in a culture that is dominated by men. They have learned, because this is all we've known, what disease looks like, what health looks like, for that matter, from men's bodies, because that's what we've studied.
Yeah.
And it takes an average of about 17 years for us to get research into clinical practice.
Okay. Wow.
So, right?
Wow.
So, yeah. So now get this. 2016, you have to look at the differences in men and women. But when are we actually going to see the benefit of that?
Right.
We're talking about 2035, maybe.
Man.
Right. And so what I would say about are they part of the problem? I think what's happened is that it's the education they get is limited.
So it's more of like they come up in the problem.
Yes.
And then they are just kind of like part of their environment.
Yes. And I would also want to add to, I don't want anybody to come away from this conversation thinking that, you know, doctors are bad. Physicians are bad.
Right, right.
Right. Because I think we have to understand the other side of it. Healthcare is a disaster right now.
Right.
These providers are overworked. They don't have enough time to spend with patients. They're stressed out. And we have a for-profit model of healthcare. And so they're also trying to meet certain expectations that come from above, you know, their CEOs, their the insurance companies. So they're also working in a constrained system.
Yeah.
So we have to remember that, too. I don't, you know, I most physicians want to do well by people. And the system is not structured for them to do that, which is also why I'm writing this book. Because I think if people have the tools to go into a visit and know how to get their point across in a clear, concise way, it's sort of like, you know, I think of, was the movie Help Me Help You, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
You know, same thing, like as the patient, help your physician to help you. Come in with these tools so that you can both collaborate and you're leaving with something more than, oh, geez, you know, I didn't get through, you know, X, Y, or Z.
We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Lee.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Ann Simmons. So before we get to, because we don't want to end the interview on a downer, we want to end it on a call to action on how we can and help this situation. Before we do that, my other question was,
yes,
statistically,
yes,
women live longer than men and women are healthier than men statistically.
Okay.
You know, on average.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I love it.
So is it as big of a problem as it seems to be with those two statistical truths?
Oh, interesting. That's a really interesting question. I guess I would what I would put back to you is if there were conditions that we knew impacted men and could extend their longevity, do you think we would be working on those?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, regardless, right?
Really ridiculous technologies medically for men.
Even if that statistic were flipped, let's say that statistic were men live longer than women. Do you think that we would still be working on ways to even make sure men are living longer?
That's true.
Right?
I mean, you look at the R&D that goes into just prolonging sexual health for men.
Yes.
Is there anything being done for women? Like
exactly.
Yeah, I see what your point
is.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to think that there is this gendered cultural expectation that women just kind of suffer through things.
Yeah.
Right? We suffer when we have our periods. We suffer when we have children.
Yeah.
We suffer when
the postpartum.
Yeah.
Phase,
we suffer
especially.
In postpartum. Yeah,
yeah.
We suffer when we go through menopause. I promise you that if men were doing that much suffering, I think we'd know a lot more, not just about why, but how to make it better.
No, you're 100% right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As a man, I assure you, I wouldn't stand for it. Okay, so let's do some call to actions.
Okay.
What can people do to help the situation?
Yeah. So this is a lot
about themselves and then maybe help the situation.
Well, it is helping themselves and it is helping the situation. And like I said, it's helping your provider. I think it's just so important. We kind of another piece of the social part of this, right, is that we do defer to our physicians. You know, mm-hmm. they are considered experts. Absolutely. They went to medical school. They know what they're doing. You know, we are seeking help. We are seeking answers. Yeah. And so there is a power imbalance there. And also, you, the patient, the person is the expert in their own body.
Right.
So it's really a need to bring that expertise together, the medical training of the physician and then the personal expertise you have in your body and your health and how you're feeling and how you're doing. So I talk about sort of three steps, and those steps are preparing for your visit, presenting, and then persisting afterwards. So preparing really is like bring the receipts, tell, you know, track what's going on for you. Track, are you getting headaches? Is your knee hurting? You know, when is it happening? What's the trigger? Did you try something and did it work or not work? If you have about 2, 4, 6 weeks of that kind of information, that is gold, right? Then make sure you're tracking how is this impacting you, right? So tell them, start with the headline. I'm here for X. It started with this. And it means I miss 2 days of work a month. Right. Yeah. So what's the harm? Grab them. The average time to interruption in a visit is about 18 seconds.
And what does that mean?
That means you sit down, the provider walks in the door and says, you know, well, hello, Gavin, great to see you. What are you here for today? You start talking, you have about 18 seconds to get your point across.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the average.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So if you have prepared, you've got your receipts, you come in and you say, yes, you know, Dr. Smith, I'm here for really bad headaches that I've been having, and I call out of work 2 times a week, and I've tried Advil, Tylenol, nothing works. Boom. That's less than 18 seconds.
Yeah.
And you've grabbed them and you've told them what the impact is.
And it shows that you care. You've done your work.
Yes.
You're prepared.
Yes.
Maybe they'll take you a little bit more seriously.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. As sad as that is, but yeah.
Well, but again.
No, I get it. Time is money.
And help them help you.
Yeah.
Right? If they're going.
Jerry Maguire it.
Yes, Jerry Maguire it. And then, you know, after that, you know, ask them, what are the next steps? So, okay, you know, what tests are you going to run? What medications are you going to try? And then even what are you considering? What are the possible things that you think this could be?
Yeah.
And then you write that down. And then you want to keep persisting. You want to say, okay, I'm going to, let's say they send you for an MRI or they're going to give you migraine medicine, whatever it is. Then your job is, okay, well, what happens in 2 to 4 weeks if I'm still not feeling better?
Right.
So now you're persisting. You're like, okay, if this isn't better, I need to know what's next. Are you sending me to a specialist?
Yep.
You know, when am I following up with you?
Yeah.
And so that also, because again, you know, I think that I've read somewhere the average primary care panel, which means like the number of patients the average primary care provider is sort of responsible for, is around 3,000. Okay.
Okay.
So then you think, then there are also different levels of health among those people, right? So you've got some that are relatively healthy. They're not really using a lot of healthcare. And then you've got really, if we look at statistics,
real squeaky wheels.
Well, and if we look at statistics with just the number of people who have type 2 diabetes, who have heart disease, you know, who need more extensive care, I mean, we're looking at about 50%,
okay.
Right? So that's taking up a lot of time. And so again, this is all about be your own advocate, and you are the expert in you. I know it's tempting to say, well, they know what they're doing. They're the doctor. And you know what? You are. You know how you are. You know what today looks like compared to yesterday or a week ago or a month ago. And that is what is that's gold for them.
Right. Of course. So, okay. So then last proactive question.
Yes.
Let's say you do all of that.
Yes.
Let's say you're still bumping your head against
the
wall. I have a friend of mine who's had a shoulder issue and she just cannot seem to, and she's doing a lot of those things. When will you know it's time? I just need a new doctor.
Yeah, it's such a good question. And it's a personal one.
Yeah.
Because people develop relationships.
It's a pain in the ass, too, to like pick up and move. Yeah.
It is. It is. What I like to tell people is, you know, do a self-evaluation. When you've seen this person, have you felt heard? Have they followed up in the way that they said they would? Are there still things that might be done? You know, people are a little bit like, I joke, Dr. Google, right? Something's wrong with you and you're right online, like, yeah. Okay. And then suddenly you're dying when really probably not. But you know, like you can, it's okay to look up some things. It's okay to say, hey, I did a little research. I don't know what all this means. Did you sort of do these proactive steps and still not feel like this person is taking you seriously and you still have an issue? Mm-hmm. Then I think it's time. And you can do that in one of two ways. You know, you can say, I'd like to see a specialist if you haven't done that, or a different kind of specialist.
Yeah.
You know, so you've referred me to orthopedics. Could this be something with my nerves or some other origin? So should I see a neurologist or somebody, you know, some other kind of doctor?
Yeah.
And if they're just dismissing you totally, then it's probably time to get a new provider. And yeah, it is a pain and it can take a long time. And that, I think, is another structural issue, right? Kind of
right.
that we all face. It's hard when you can't get care when you need it.
No, absolutely. This has been a great conversation and I hope that it helps people.
Yeah, me too.
And this isn't, fellas, this is not just an issue for women. Like, this is something that we should be helping with as well. Dr. Leanne Simmons, your book, do you know when the book will be finished?
I don't know when it's going to be coming out, but I would love to come back and talk some more when it's sure. out. And one thing too, for the fellows out there, I will say, when we study women, it helps the fellows too.
Sure.
Right. So don't forget that. It's a win-win on that.
Absolutely.
And also if you're partnered with a woman, you know, mm-hmm. like if someone's not feeling well, them getting
you're
better
not feeling well.
Right. And so this is an everybody issue. Even though it's framed a lot of times as a women's issue, it's an everybody issue.
An everybody issue. Dr. Leanne Simmons, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.